Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. I'd like you to put your finger in your Bible right where we just read, Matthew chapter 5. Hold on to that spot. I'm going to refer back to that spot in a little bit. You know, the Bible is all about spiritual principles. The Bible is all about, if you do this, then that'll happen. It's about consequences. It's about attitude. Time and time again, if it doesn't say it plainly, then the stories illustrate that if we do this, then this will happen. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. It's all throughout the Bible. It's God's love letter to us. And God is trying to get us to live a certain way. And so he tells us, listen, if you do this, I'll do that. You know, it's like some people said, you know, if God is so loving, how can there be a hell? You know, the lake of fire and brimstone, hell is a loving thing. It's the most loving thing God could do. Because he's saying, if you love me, if you live this way, if you ask Jesus, my son, into your heart as your Lord and Savior in this life, you don't got to worry about that hell. Now, if there were no hell, we wouldn't worry about anything. We would just live life the way we wanted to live life because we got nothing to fear. It's one of the problems today. So many people they've got no respect for other people. They've got no respect for life, for property, because they're not afraid of going to jail. There's no fear of punishment today. You know where there's a lot lower crime rate than in the United States? Some of those far eastern countries. You know why? Because justice is swift and brutal. They don't fool around. You know, when I counsel people who are coming to me to get married, a couple comes to me, and I've done over a couple hundred weddings in 23 years. When couples come to me, we sit down and we chat, you know, and I talk to them about things like the art of communication. You know, that's something we need to practice. You know, we need to work at that. And we talk about, we'll talk a little bit about the birds and the bees, and you know, I give them the benefit of my long years of being married. Now, there sits my lovely wife, Bonnie, and we've been married next month on the 11th, 39 years, and she'll tell you it's only the first 38 that are hard. She's just, I give them benefit of some of that advice, and we talk about attitude, having a good attitude when you get married, because when you get married, you got to learn the art of compromise. You better know before you get married. And I tell the guys the two most important words they'll ever need to know. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Yep, yeah, you learn those two. And I also tell them, happy wife, happy life. You know, if, see, all the women are patting their husbands saying, do you hear that? You know, it's also happy husband, happy life, but, and it's true. If we do this, then this happens. Cause and effect. Attitude. It's all about attitude, you know. And I'll ask a couple, I'll say, so this relationship you're going into, how much do you put into it? How much do you put into it? How much do you expect back? Most common answer I get is 50-50. 50-50. I put 50 in, get 50 back. And I say, boy, you know, there are going to be a lot of days you're going to be disappointed. A lot of days. You want to have a good marriage? You want to really enjoy life? Enjoy your marriage? Put 100% in. Put 100% in and expect nothing back. You'll never be disappointed. And every day you'll get up thinking, what can I do for my spouse today? What can I do to make them happy, to please them today? Boy, you'll have a good time. Yep. Put 100% in, don't ask for anything. But, and then I ask couples, I say, well, so why are you getting married? And they'll say, because, you know, what he or she does for me, how he or she treats me, he or she is a good provider, good cook. And I'm thinking, so you're getting married because of what the other person can do for you. See, that's the wrong attitude. That's why over 50% of marriages today end up in divorce, because you're getting married for how it benefits you, and you're not getting married for how you can benefit the other person. And we need to have the right attitude when we get married. And we need to be getting married because we love the other person and we want to make their life better. It gives us a reason for living, a goal in life, things to work forward to. Oh, my. Marriages, it's just, weddings are so much fun. And then we have here in Matthew chapter 5 our Beatitudes for living. God's saying, if you have this attitude, then this will happen. So let's check these out. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's what it says there. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, those who are poor in spirit are people who recognize that they don't have what it takes to save themselves, that there's sin in their lives, that without Jesus, they're going nowhere. Matter of fact, they know that lake of fire and brimstone we were talking about earlier. Yeah, they've got a play date there. So they're poor in spirit. But blessed are the poor in spirit, because they recognize it and they turn to God. So theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus went around, it says in Matthew 4:17, that he went around preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So the poor in spirit recognized that, and boy, they were eager to see Jesus. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Today, Bonnie and I are going to a viewing down in Greene County for Bonajo Krauss, the Krauss family. Bonajo Krauss is 87, school teacher, wonderful, wonderful Christian woman who supported us right from the get-go when we started ministry in 93. I mean, sugar wouldn't melt in her mouth. She was just a good, God-fearing woman. And they're mourning, but they're, and I, when I do a funeral, now we're not doing this funeral, we're just going to visit, but when I do a funeral, I always tell the family, Matthew chapter 5 has the Beatitudes in it, and it says that those who mourn shall be comforted. So look to the Word of God for comfort. Look to the Word of God for comfort. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. meek. To be meek doesn't mean to be weak. To be meek means to be humble. So blessed are those who are not self-righteous, self-centered, full of pride, but blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For they shall be filled, they shall be satisfied. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. The Bible tells us that if you knock, the door will be opened unto you. If you seek, you will find, ask, and it will be given to you. And so if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, it'll be given to you. Righteousness are the things that are pleasing to God. Righteousness, the good things, loving things, things of God in all areas of our lives. If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, it'll be given to you. Blessed are the merciful. Now, but those who have ears hear. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That means when somebody's done you dirt, done you wrong, and then you know you've got them dead to rights. Payback. What goes around comes around. Now you can really give it to them. That's when you turn the other cheek and let them go. When you forgive other people, you're being merciful, and then you yourself will be forgiven. The flip side is, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Do this, then that happens. We say it all the time in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins. What? As we forgive others. So show mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I know that there are some people among us who are pure in heart. You know, I can't reclaim that. Lustful, sinful man who's struggled with the flesh my long walk in life. But there are just people who are just so pure in heart. You know who I'm talking about. Those people who are just good. You know, when you look at them, you just can't help but smile. And you feel safe around them because you know they're not going to condemn you. They're not going to judge you. They're not even going to criticize you. They're just going to love you because they love God. They are pure in heart. Wonderful people. That was Bon and Joe, pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, children of God, peacemakers. Peacemakers are those people who do not get brought involved in brawls. They do not stir up dissension. They do not moan and groan and complain and cause trouble and talk about people behind their back. Peacemakers are people who do not take sides. Their only side is Jesus. They choose love. They will try to end controversy, not start it. And boy, oh boy, since the election, we've had tons and tons of controversy. Lots of controversy. Controversy, there's always controversy everywhere. But peacemakers are the ones who try to put an end to it. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Same as the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven also. Blessed are you when you're persecuted because of righteousness. For being a Christian, it is harder to be a Christian than it is to not be a Christian. The good news is that the Holy Spirit makes it easier and easier as we go along. But people persecute us all the time for being Christians. You can go to church a few times, but if you want to go too much or you want to miss a game or you can't hang out with your friends because you're going to go to church, and they start unloading on you. And we see it in the news and hear it on TV. And Hollywood just does everything they can to make Christians look bad. all kind of persecution going on in our country. Now you go to other countries and you say you're a Christian, that's the end of your life. Parents have killed their children who have converted. There's stories all the time about people being killed because of their faith, thrown in jail. It's still like that. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. What are we supposed to do? Rejoice. We're supposed to rejoice when we're punished and persecuted and treated badly and gossiped about because we're Christians. See, other Christians, they're not going to talk about you behind your back. So if you're talking about somebody behind your back, you need to talk to Jesus about your relationship with him. We just don't do that. But we are to rejoice when we are persecuted. Count it pure joy, it says in James chapter 1, when you are persecuted, when you face trials and tribulations of many kind, count it pure joy. These are the Beatitudes. These are the Beatitudes that Jesus gave to his followers from the Sermon on the Mount. He said, if you do this, then this will happen. And I want you to do this. But I'm going to give you a freedom of choice. I'm not going to make you do it. So what's the question? To be or not to be? That's the question. Because we all have a choice, whether to obey them or not, to follow them or not. It's up to you. Just remember what the flip side is, because there's a flip side to everything. If you do the right thing, something good will happen. If you do the wrong thing, something bad will happen. Cause and effect. It's the world in which we live. It's the faith by which we live. And God loves us so much. You know, Romans 8:28, for we know that in all things, God works together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. If you love God, you ask Jesus into your heart in this life as your Lord and Savior. Repent of your sin, tell him you're sorry of your sins, and you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You can even tell him, I don't understand it, don't know how it works, I just know that I want you in my life. Then God says, from this point on, no matter what happens to you in your life, no matter what you're going through, I'll make it turn out for your good. Even when you don't understand it, even when it doesn't make sense, somehow, some way, God will make it work out for your good. It may take a long time to ever see it. You may never see it. But God will make it work for your good. Because that's God's promise to us. If we do this, he'll do that. But the choice is up to us. God loves you, and so do I.